What are the marks of caring and nurturing relationships? What are those behaviors and attitudes that keep us together as a community of faith? Well, over the past few weeks, Luke the evangelist has pointed the way for us to find joy and peace in our lives and in our communities. He offers us two simple principles. Practice forgiveness. Practice gratitude. Practicing forgiveness enables us to restore broken relationships, heal emotional wounds, and reconcile us to one another. Practicing forgiveness breaks down barriers that separate us. On the other hand, practicing gratitude increases our awareness of the blessings in our lives and deepens our relationship with the one who is the source of all blessing. Practicing gratitude leads us to live lives full of abundance, recognizing how much we have rather than craving what we think we deserve. Practicing gratitude leads us into generosity and contentment. By practicing forgiveness, we show our love for one another. And in a very real sense, by practicing gratitude, we show our love for God, who is the source of all of our blessing. But let's be frank. We as humans often fall short of the expectations of our faith. So when we cry out, God, increase our faith so that we might practice forgiveness in our lives and generosity in our hearts, Jesus replies in last week's gospel, why? You have all the faith you need. Even the smallest faith can lead to lives filled with acts of forgiveness and generosity. And so it is when we are called to exhibit lives filled with acts of gratitude. We may find ourselves counting our blessings more regularly, more faithfully. But we may also come to realize that living our lives in a constant state of gratitude is not always an easy thing to do. Frankly, gratitude is not the sort of thing that comes naturally to us as human beings. It takes time and life before it ceases to become a conscious effort on our part and simply becomes part of who we are. We have to learn about and work at getting gratitude for it to find a home in our hearts and become part of our very being. Training in gratitude begins in our childhood, hopefully through the teachings of our parents and the adults around us. But as time goes on, we're apt to lose sight of those teachings and place them in the back of our minds. We become more focused on ourselves. We become focused on establishing a career, building a portfolio, having a family, making a mark in the world, succeeding. And gratitude is often lost in self-concern and self-indulgence. But then there comes that day when nobody has to tell you to be grateful. You just are. Gratitude has gotten inside of you, and a part of you has become gratitude. It comes to you when you fall in love. Celebrate the birth or adoption of your child or grandchild. Discover the joy of being in relationship with a true friend. Or discovering that you are in a career that is fulfilling and nurturing. True gratitude comes to us any moment that we experience what it means to live in the presence of unconditional love. Gratitude is born when I shift my focus away from myself and direct it for another. That is what gratitude is all about. But that brings me to the strangest side of gratitude. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and in everything give thanks." Rejoice in the Lord always, and for everything give thanks. Did Paul really mean everything? Is that really what he's talking about, to give thanks for everything in life? I can understand giving thanks when I'm overwhelmed by the goodness and the joy of life, what life has given me. But always, everywhere, in every situation, you and I know that life knows dark days, when the last thing in the world that you think about is giving thanks. It's not that in those moments we're devoid of gratitude, it's just that there is a time and a place for everything. When we find ourselves in one of those dark days in life, it just seems so inappropriate to give thanks. Like the preacher in Ecclesiastes says, there's a time to laugh and a time to weep, a time to rejoice and a time to refrain from rejoicing. Surely there are times and places when the last word ought to be said is thanks. So it is when we experience death and other deep losses and disappointments and suffering in our lives. We can feel anger, hurt, doubt, sadness, and emptiness, but surely not gratitude. Maybe in time when the crying is stopped and the wounds have begun to heal, but certainly not when death and deep loss or suffering are so very real and present. How can we have expected in those moments to be people of gratitude? What seems far more in keeping with the spirit of thanksgiving is that we should perhaps be grateful for all the good things and simply accept or forget the painful moments. And yet, that's not the view of Henry Nouwen, renowned priest and author and one of my favorite theologians. In one of his books, he writes, "Gratitude in its deepest sense means to live life as a gift to be received gratefully. But gratitude, as the gospel speaks about it, embraces all of life, the good and the bad, the joyful and the painful, the holy and the not so holy." I think what Nouwen is getting at is that living life this way is recognition that God is present to us in every moment and every circumstance of our lives. When we bask in the light of joy and gladness, God is there to rejoice with us and sing a song with us. And when the darkness of pain and suffering overtakes us, God is there to remind us that we are not alone, that we are loved. When we live our lives in this way, we walk in the way of the cross, where even in the midst of death, God's love bursts through, proclaiming hope and joy in the midst of despair and sadness. I got a call that October afternoon 14 years ago. I heard my brother's voice saying, "Perry, Dad just died." I knew he was sick, but this was unexpected and too soon. He was supposed to spend Christmas with us. But hours later, as I sat in the living room of our family home with my mom, my brothers, my sister, and their families, we sat there in silence, tears, awkward moments, conversations that sort of left dangling. There doesn't seem to be a place in a broken heart for gratitude. But then somehow a family album appeared on the coffee table, and then a box of pictures, and the memories began to flood the room. And someone started to laugh, and suddenly we were all laughing and crying and having a warm and wonderful time together. And then it dawned on me. At that moment, I was truly thankful. I was grateful. Not so much because of the memories. I was thankful for having my father in my life. I was thankful for having known him, thankful for him for giving me life. But most importantly, I was thankful because he gave me his unconditional love and accepted my love in return. And with that recognition, I could truly experience joy and laughter for a love that will always be with me, even though Dad's no longer in my life in the here and now. And I came to believe that gratitude is indeed something that is with us all times. The biblical writers are indeed correct. It is not only possible, but even necessary, that we should always and in everything give thanks. The presence of gratitude in our lives transforms even the darkest nights into glorious days. Gratitude born of love, the love of God, whose love inspires us to love one another, and in doing so, we learn to love life and to love and accept ourselves as beloved children of God. And that is the root of gratitude. Gratitude lies at the heart of who we are as children of God. Learning gratitude opens us up to be whole and complete human beings. And maybe that's why gratitude is the centerpiece of a life of stewardship. Being grateful people is not always easy. But the church in its wisdom has developed ways for us to become more thankful people, to experience life as it's meant to be lived. There is a spiritual discipline called the examine, which has helped many grow into the image of grateful people. It's really very simple. At the end of each day, you take time to name three things for which you are thankful. You can do it alone, or you can share your blessings with someone else. And that's it. Pretty simple, isn't it? But for many who follow this discipline, find that their lives are changed. Find themselves growing into more generous, caring, and joyful people. Seeing their lives as abundant with blessings. In this time of stewardship awareness, I encourage us to focus on acts of thanksgiving and to count our blessings, large and small, significant and trivial, in good times and bads, and to be grateful, to be people filled with gratitude, grateful to the one who is the source of every good and gracious gift. For in the long run, we don't deserve a thing. So our attitude toward each day should be absolutely thick with thanksgiving for the unexpected blessings that come our way. But this is not primarily designed to be a discipline to promote personal growth. If we can remember to give thanks, if we can practice true gratitude, we'll find that our parish community will become more giving, more joyful, more loving, more thankful. For as stewards, we model lives that transform people around us, that build community and proclaim the way of Jesus. And may we dedicate our lives to being people grateful to God for our blessings and generous in sharing our blessings with one another. And it begins with being people who live lives of gratitude. Gratitude, something so simple and yet at times elusive. But when we become people of gratitude, we experience life the way we were intended to live it, in joyful thanks to our God, who gives us all that we can ever ask or imagine or hope for. Thanks be to God that is that God who showers us with divine love. And in that name of that God, amen.